billionaires in space. These guys will do anything to look down on us. They really put the ass in astronaut. You guys, you just don't understand the gravity of these puns. I'm leaving. I need some space.
Under 18 kids can buy a gun, but they can't watch a drag queen tell a story. Really, I thought we had moved past it, and now I'm realizing that this is sort of the life that I'm going to have the rest of my life, is dealing with this, because this isn't going to go away overnight.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The horror in Gaza hangs over pride celebrations around the world. The U.S. tractor supply company bails on its queer customers. And San Francisco drag laureate Darcy Dollinger on the politics of gender. All that and even more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm David Hunt.
With NewsWrap. A summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending July 6, 2024. More than 100 people defied the governor of Istanbul's ban on LGBTQ pride June 30th, with several arrests. Public pride events have been officially banned since 2015, in the Turkish city that once hosted one of the region's largest celebrations. Authorities say Pride had to be shut down due to concerns over security and public sensitivities. This year, organizers tried to avoid direct confrontations with police by leaving their fenced-off former home of İstiklal Avenue in Taksim Square. Instead, they crossed the Bosphorus Strait that divides the continents to hold an impromptu action in Istanbul's Asian side. They marched briefly along Baghdad Avenue, waving rainbow flags and chanting liberation slogans. Organizers read a statement criticizing the increased polarization of the country before quickly disbanding as security police arrived. About 15 people were unable to escape the authorities. They've all since been released. The emergence of Turkey's far-right authoritarian president Recep Tayyip Erdogan in 2003 signaled the end of Pride celebrations. Istanbul's governor warned in May this year that his office would not allow various illegal groups to hold unauthorized events. A statement posted to social media by the organizers read in part, "Today, you closed down İstiklal, blocked all roads and squares leading to it. You halted life in a whole city, but you forgot one thing. If necessary, we can pierce through stones, bend time, and once again find each other in our smiles. We never tire of deceiving the police, forcing them to deal with us." The statement ended in all caps with, "Get used to it. We are everywhere."
Thousands of peaceful and colorful Pride Parade participants were making merry in the streets of Santiago, Chile on June 29th. That is, until hooded thugs broke through security fences and assaulted them. The attackers punched and kicked the pridegoers and threw stones and paint at floats, according to the Washington Blade. Parade infrastructure was also damaged. The Movement for Homosexual Integration and Liberation organizes the parade. Movil is Chile's leading queer advocacy group. Their spokesperson, Javiera Suninga, told the Blade that the attack was an aberration from what's normally a joyous and peaceful event. She said, "What we are basically asking is that anyone who has seen something and can recognize any of the aggressors contact us through our social networks so that we can file complaints and do whatever is necessary to find those responsible." There were no disturbances reported at the LGBTQ plus Pride March for Diversity in Concepcion, Chile, the same day.
It was the largest celebration of LGBTQ love Romania has ever had, according to organizers of the 19th annual Bucharest Pride. The Pride March on June 29th capped a series of events that began on the 21st. an estimated 27,000 people waving rainbow flags and chanting pro-queer slogans marched the length of Calais Victoriae, the city's major thoroughfare. Contingents included representatives of at least 25 foreign embassies and the European Commission. A handful of anti-LGBTQ protesters were forcefully removed by police. Those opponents of Pride had held a march of normality earlier in the day. The Bucharest Pride Festival is organized by the queer advocacy group Accept. They said companion Pride events were held in the Romanian cities of Cluj, Lash, Oradea, and Timișoara.
The horror in Gaza hung over Pride celebrations in a number of cities. Pro-Palestinian protesters succeeded in shutting down Toronto's June 30th Pride parade. More than two dozen people blocked the forward movement of the procession about 3.5 hours after it had begun. After about 45 minutes of the logjam, organizers announced the cancellation of the rest of the parade in the interests of public safety. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators held placards reading "No Pride in Genocide" at Philadelphia's June 2nd march, but the barricade was only temporary. There was a similar action in Denver. At least three people were arrested at Boston's parade on June 8th when pro-Palestinian protesters clashed with the police. Where the modern-day queer liberation movement was born in New York City, occasional rain and anti-war disruptions combined to dampen the annual celebration down Fifth Avenue on June 30th. Russia's war on Ukraine was also an issue for Pride-goers. Thousands sought a return to the roots of Pride at the 6th annual Queer Liberation March in Lower Manhattan on the same day. 53 people, including 9 juveniles, were arrested in Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood just hours after that city's Pride parade. The charges range from aggravated battery of a transit employee or police officer to property crimes. At least 4 firearms were also confiscated. Authorities say rowdy celebrants or anti-queer thugs seem to be an indelible part of the Windy City's parade after parties.
Brenda Bia celebrated Pride Month with a coming out announcement on Instagram on June 30th. The problem is that she's the daughter of President Paul Bia of Cameroon, where same-gender sex is illegal. The 26-year-old Cameroonian first daughter shared a picture of her kissing girlfriend, Brazilian model Leonce Valença, with the caption, "I'm crazy about you, and I want the world to know." Brenda is also featured in Valença's TikTok videos. Same-gender sex is punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a fine in the Central African nation. In addition to the harsh societal taboos, the country's National Communications Council banned broadcast media depictions of homosexuality last year. President Bia has not publicly reacted to his daughter's news to date. One person wondered in a social media post if the country's anti-queer laws were only for the poor. Brenda replied, "Nobody will have anything to say because only love shall win. I don't condone hate. I think the mentality should change, but it will change once the people are ready."
Finally, Tractor Supply Company is plowing over all of the pro-queer initiatives that had been a proud part of its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The Brentwood, Tennessee-based U.S. agricultural product and home improvement company ended Pride Month with a social media post bowing to a concerted effort by far-right groups to reverse course. The company's statement says it will now focus on rural America priorities, including ag education and veteran causes, and stop sponsoring non-business activities like Pride festivals and voting campaigns. Tractor Supply will end its cooperation with the national U.S. advocacy group Human Rights Campaign, which had given the company high ratings for its queer support and inclusiveness. Erzat's film director turned conservative activist Robbie Starbuck led a 3-week online campaign against what he called the Tractor Supply Woke Agenda. That canceled woke agenda also includes Tractor Supply's stated goal to cut carbon emissions by 20% by 2025 and to achieve net zero emissions across all operations by 2040. Don Martin is one of a group of queer farmers and ranchers organizing a boycott of Tractor Supply. Martin and his husband co-own a 10-acre horse training and boarding facility in Illinois. He told The Advocate that he felt personally betrayed. He said, "We didn't ask for special treatment, just respect and inclusion." Martin is just one voice in a growing chorus of queer former Tractor Supply customers saying, "We won't support businesses that don't support us. Our dollars have power, and we need to use them wisely."
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending July 6th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, with technical assistance by Daniel Lucius, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay healthy.
And I'm David Hunt. Stay safe.
Hello, I'm Clover Moore, the Lord Mayor of Sydney, and I'm very pleased to welcome you to This Way Out, the weekly LGBTIQ plus radio magazine for all our gender and sexually diverse communities around the world and those who love them.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
On the last This Way Out,
we've heard of poet laureates whose job is to elevate the status and appreciation of poetry. So what does a drag laureate do?
You can use the exact same terminology, just throw in drag instead of poetry.
The job description starts with be fabulous all the time.
The mayor calls me on my cell phone and cares what I think.
We can change the world by being more fabulous. And you have that power every single day.
We met San Francisco drag laureate Darcy Drollinger behind the scenes of his public role, where he told Eric Jensen how it all began. Before we return to that intimate conversation, here's Darcy on stage, streaming live from his drag and trans haven night spot, Oasis.
I'm Darcy Drollinger, and you're watching Hot Trash Live. Our top trash, billionaires in space. First up, Richard Branson, you know, the virgin guy. Well, virgin guy popped his space cherry last week in a rocket that he fully funded with his bags of money. I mean, they only really touched the very edge of outer space. Like if outer space was a piece of bread, they like only got to the crust or like the space equivalent of over the clothes stuff. And the whole flight only lasted about an hour. Talk about premature ignition. Anyway, it was sort of like putting just the tip into outer space, but hey, it still counts. Good for you, virgin guy. And all his billionaire buddies are sniffing around spaceflight, trying to get their tip in too. Like Jeff Bezos, the Amazon guy, who announced he's also going to space and posted a suspiciously sincere good luck message along with a picture of virgin guy. And Elon Musk, the Tesla guy, actually bought a ticket on the next Virgin Galactic rocket, even though he already owns SpaceX. I mean, the new must-have billionaire accessory isn't a wife half your age and a dragon's horn of stolen wealth. It's a fully functioning space plane in your own private hangar.
Remember when entire countries used to do this and NASA was like a fully funded government agency at the cutting edge of interstellar technology? Well, who needs those losers? These guys took all the money they should have been paying in taxes and dumped it into their personal planetary pet projects. But I'm sure spaceflight will trickle down in a few hundred years or so, right? Like, seriously, these guys will do anything to look down on us. They really put the ass in astronaut. What? Look, I'm just saying, they're really out to launch. No. Okay, I'll stop. You guys, you just don't understand the gravity of these puns. Look, I'm gonna hit you with so many puns, you'll be seeing stars. God, it's like performing into a black hole. All right, fine, I'm leaving. I need some space. All right, I gotta go. I'll galaxy you later.
I just wanna stay for a minute. You're all so sexy and so fabulous. But we're living in some crazy, crazy times, right? Where they are creating bans on drag around this country, right? And I look at this crowd and what's happening on stage, and there's so much joy in this room. There's so much love in this room. And there's so much artistry in this room. So this is the time where we gotta sparkle harder. We gotta sparkle brighter. And you know, we live stream this tonight, right? So to all our families, brothers and sisters, and everyone in between watching this, that are over there, like those cameras, let's give them some love. We love you. Thank you for coming to the Oasis, because here's the deal. We can turn the lights on. We can put the wigs on. Yes, I'm wearing a wig. But if you don't show up, this doesn't happen. So thank you for keeping San Francisco, San Francisco.
That was some of Darcy Drollinger's stand-up routine at San Francisco's Oasis, the queer night spot he created. The world's first drag laureate and Eric Jensen's conversation now turns to the targeting of drag shows in the creatively stifling culture wars.
So, when, how, and why did drag become politicized? Especially recently, it seems to have become such a flashpoint in our country's culture wars.
Yes, it is. It is sort of been a shock, I think, to the whole community, because the feeling was that we were moving so far past this, and now we're moving backwards in such a harsh way. I mean, it's not just drag performers and trans people, and trans people are just more visible now. The same prejudice has been there. I feel like suddenly it's emboldened because of the politics we're in. I mean, I'd say the same thing for women's reproductive rights. I never thought we would be going backwards. And now they're trying to put a major federal ban, It is insane to me. So I do feel like, in some ways, these people just could never speak about it. It wasn't acceptable to be that level of prejudice or that level of misogynist anymore. And things have changed, and somehow they feel like they can be. And I can't believe that we're even having to have these conversations. I thought, I thought we had moved past it. And now I'm realizing that this is sort of the life that I'm going to have the rest of my life, is dealing with this, because this isn't going to go away overnight. Right. And it makes you realize how important our freedoms are mm-hmm. and how we have to be pretty vigilant all the time to keep our freedoms and we take for granted. And like, you know, I'm in a bubble inside a bubble inside a bubble, right? You know, I'm in the United States, I'm in California, I'm in San Francisco, I'm in the queer community in San Francisco. And it doesn't get any more sort of free as that. But it also doesn't get any more insular than that, right? Where, you know, I can't travel around the country or the world and have these kinds of freedoms. You know, I did an interview with the BBC Global, you know, early on in the Drag Laureate time, and the amount of comments that were like hate comments, like serious hate comments, because people in other cultures that are, where it's very acceptable to kill gay people, right. Let alone drag queens.
And trans people.
Trans people. And so you don't realize how much sort of hate there is in the world around just you existing.
Yeah.
Is. And so it's a big bummer, but it's also, I have the freedom to like kiss whoever I want to in broad daylight on the street. I have the freedom to dress in drag and walk down the street. I have the freedom to be so much exactly who I want to be. And so if I don't take that opportunity, like, it is really a shame, because for all the people that are never going to get this opportunity, and if I'm going to not take advantage of it, like, you are not walking through the world standing up for all those people that don't get the opportunity by ignoring that opportunity when it's right in front of you. And I think we all just, we don't celebrate it enough and we don't take advantage of it enough, because we owe it to all those people that don't.
Okay. I just found this today and I was surprised, because I was checking on the status of anti-drag legislation across the United States. I knew that Tennessee was the big one that passed it last year. But also Montana and at least 15 other states have bills in progress to restrict drag performances, according to a report by the nonprofit World Population Review. Some of these laws are quite severe. Under Arizona's pending legislation, drag artists who perform in front of children under 15 years old would be subject to at least 10 years in prison and forced to register as sex offenders, says that report. But most of the states plan to appeal those rulings, so in those states, there may soon be no drag queen story hours for the kids in schools and public libraries like we have here in California, nor for anyone anywhere outside where minors might just happen to walk by.
But you can take them to a WWF wrestling match and watch people beat the hell out of each other.
And gun shows, I suppose.
Yes, sure. And I mean, you could, you know, for these under 18 kids, they can buy a gun, but they can't watch a drag queen tell a story. And I also think things like that, that are, you know, they're really also coming after the parents, right? And all of these red states want less government and more personal freedom, but they only want their own personal freedom. They don't want personal freedom that they don't approve of, because really these kids aren't like running away from home to get to the library for the drag story hour, right? They're being taken there by their parents who want them to have that experience. I mean, Drag Story Hour was created by Michelle T because she wanted something special for her children, and she just did it for her kids. And it just started growing and growing and growing, and because people wanted it.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about that we haven't touched on yet?
You know, I think that it's been a really profound, you know, time with the Drag Laureate role in sort of in conjunction with coming out of the pandemic with the nightclub and really finding a bigger, stronger voice for Oasis in terms of its place in the world, not just in San Francisco, but as a place for other performers, other kings and queens and trans performers to have a home. Drag has been something that's plopped in a bar somewhere and you gotta like turn some milk crates into a stage or dance on the pool table and change in the electrical closet or the public bathrooms, but to be able to have a space that has been created for you and your needs as a performer with good dressing rooms and a bathroom and a closet and electricity back there and staff that, like, you know, welcomes you, that you aren't, you know, just a stranger coming into a club, but you are coming home. And I think the more that we can create those environments for performers, it affects the performers and it also affects the audiences. And I think that is a way that we can elevate what drag is. And I also think, you know, drag is this fluid art form that is more like a lens that you can put over any other art form. And it's like when you look at something and you're used to seeing it one way, but then you look at it under a microscope or a magnifying glass, it suddenly blows it up and it looks like something completely different. And you can see parts of it that you could never see before. And I think that drag does that, where it blows up. It's larger than life. It blows up the masculine identity. It blows up the feminine identity. And you start to be able to see things in a different perspective. I think that drag has a lot to offer if people could take it more seriously.
My guest was San Francisco Drag Laureate Darcy Drollinger. Thanks so much, Darcy, for spending so much time with us here. Learn more at darcydrollinger.com or sfoasis.com.
So don't be afraid to let them show. Like a
Eric Jensen and Porfirio Rangel co-produced Out in the Bay's interview with San Francisco Drag Laureate Darcy Drollinger. David Kwan did the sound design and audio editing for the original interview, which is online at outinthebay.org. This Way Out's David Hunt hears what it's like on the job in 2024.
What happens when what we do conflicts with who we are?
The thing that's bothering me about the story is that I got a positive teaching review. I had really, really good student reviews. At no point were any complaints or issues brought to me about the courses I was teaching. The only thing that changed, and my being non-renewed, was that I came out as trans.
Our two-part series on working while queer begins next time on This Way Out. Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. NewsWrap was reported this week by Tanya Kane Perry and David Hunt, and produced by Ryan DeShazer, with technical assistance by Daniel Huesius. Our correspondent was Eric Jansen from Out in the Bay. Ray Charles, The Village People, and Cindy Lauper performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Ivana Foundation and Richard Merkin and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on CHSR, Fredericton, New Brunswick, WOMR, Provincetown, Massachusetts, KHCN, Toledo, Colorado, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.